been reading this, well, for the past couple of weeks, a book that was written by a sociologist. He's an academic, an unbeliever when he wrote the book. And he was struck by the fact that when you look at the rapid growth of the church in the first century, it's just amazing. How is it that a group of marginalized, sometimes persecuted, poverty-stricken individuals managed to bring to its knees the greatest empire that the world had ever seen at that time? Did anybody else watch Kelsey Grammer's Crucial Battles in American History? I'm a history buff. So I watched this show, it's on PBS. Kelsey Grammer narrates about crucial battles. And he makes the observation repeatedly in that television production that when the American Revolution started, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that these farmers and people that were not soldiers were going to be totally whipped by the British Empire and the greatest military, again, that the world had ever seen up to that time. But they weren't. Well, Rodney Stark, as he looked at the Roman Empire, came to a really shocking realization. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm trying to digest some of the original material, and I have a hard time understanding sometimes where he was able to access the original material that he relied on. But he made an observation. The life expectancy of Christians tended to be longer than the life expectancy of the average Roman. That's surprising. The life expectancy of the Christians tended to be longer than the life expectancy of the average Romans. Jesus died when he was 33, and a lot of times we think about that, and as we ponder that, we kind of compare his life to our life, and we think, well, he was just such a young man, but realize that the life expectancy for the average citizen during the Roman Empire was less than 40 years. Jesus did die when he was 35, or when he was 30. And a lot of the Christians died when they were 35. But you have to start thinking about that in terms of the fact that in their culture, 35 was a ripe old age. A lot of Christians lived longer than the people that they were around. Well, there's this blessing. Paul said it. We've repeated it every week for the last year. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't know if I'm like you, but I hate it when I do something that I know isn't going to last. I know it's going to fall down. I'm terrible at doing laundry because it seems like you do laundry every week and then you get to do it all over again next week. I think women have more stamina than I do. Women understand that better than I do. when I get the clothes clean, let's just go naked for the rest of the week. You know, I hate doing things that just don't seem to produce any lasting effect. You wash the dishes, and then you get to wash the dishes again. Tim has this ability to see that that's not an empty work. I wish that I had the ability that she does to see that, but I know that the labor that we do is not in vain in the Lord. In Psalms 127, there's an amazing statement that's made. And this is from the New King James Translation. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Being a Christian is not something that's in vain. Being a Christian produced a longer life expectancy in the Roman Empire. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they were able to bring them to their knees. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, Jeremiah says this, beginning in verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He will not see when the good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. People that give up on God live a life that isn't going to produce. Sociologists understand that. They're a little reluctant to talk about the fact that they understand that, because that would indicate that they somehow believe that there's something good associated with being with God. And in fact, Jeremiah continues here in Jeremiah 17. He says, blessed is the man, as opposed to what he said earlier, cursed is the man. Now, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. Will not fear when he comes, but his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. That's truly amazing. Think about what Jeremiah says. Blessed is the man who trust in the Lord. Now, Proverbs 16 and verse 20 says it this way. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover the good, and blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, that tells me that giving thought to the word is part and parcel of trusting in God. Those two things go hand in hand. You can't trust in God unless you know who God is, and you know who God is because you trust in the Word. That's what reveals God. And beyond that, you can't have trust unless you put that word into your heart. That's right now. That's not something that we look forward to in the future. Now, we'll talk about the future in just a minute, but understand, trusting in God is what we do right now, 2023. We trust in God because we know who God is, because we know that it's going to make a difference. We trust in God, and I'm wondering if maybe Rodney Stark is on to something that we ought to be looking at longevity. I look at this crowd and I think, wow, there's a lot of old folks here. And then I'm reminded of that t-shirt that says, you know, it's weird being the same age as old folks. Have you ever thought about that? Most of the time, when you're talking to people who've lived many, many years, they'll tell you it's because they have trust in God. Maybe that's what creates it. Now, sometimes you'll hear somebody like Mark Twain, who said, I've known a lot of old drunks, but I haven't known many old doctors. Maybe there's something to that. But trusting in God gives us a good life. Right now, I know that some of the Christians were persecuted. I know that some of them died a martyr's death. But most of them didn't. Most of them lived longer than their fellows. Now, the second thing that he says is that trust in the Lord involves fixing your mind on him. Look at Isaiah 26. You keep him in perfect peace. He's talking about God. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. He will not fail us, ever. He doesn't fail us right now. Ours is a faith that looks at what's happening today and says God is in charge. Now, ours is a faith that also hopes in the Lord. Now, hope is future. Not only do we believe that God blesses us now, but we know that there is a future reserved for us. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. What we see now is not anything to be compared with what God is going to do. That's absolutely true. He exalts himself to show mercy to you. The Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all of those who wait for him. So, yes, we're blessed now. What we have now is far better than what we would have if we didn't have Jesus. But it's nothing to be compared to what's coming. We'll continue to talk about how God makes sure that our labor is not in vain. And we'll talk about it in terms of what a sociologist would look at if he was looking at Christian people. Really interesting. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be one. There's a blessing here in Christianity that is beyond anything you can imagine. Not just here, but in the future. And not just in the future, but here. We want to help you put Jesus on. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I want to be a Christian. It's another thing to actually commit to him. To say to him, you can put my old man to death in baptism. Kill him. Because I know you can raise me to walk in new life. Now, if baptism is something that you want to do, if it's a declaration that you want to make, let us know. We can help you to do that. We have a pool of water back here. We can baptize you right now. If you want to do that at 4 o'clock in the morning, call Ron. You can call anybody. We'll be here. We'll find water so that you can make that declaration. But we want you to think about it.